Picture a business deal where you've crushed the competition, squeezed every dollar from the table, and walked away triumphant. 6 months later, that same partner refuses to return your calls. Your win just cost you millions in future opportunities. This scenario plays out thousands of times daily in boardrooms worldwide, revealing a fundamental misunderstanding about modern negotiation. We're living through a seismic shift from negotiation as warfare to negotiation as partnership, and those who haven't noticed are bleeding money and relationships. The world has fundamentally changed. With 5 billion mobile phones connecting us, social media giving voice to billions, and supply chains spanning continents, we're no longer isolated players. We're deeply interdependent. Technology has blurred industry lines so completely that hardware makers, software developers, and content creators now find themselves in the same boat, forced to row together or sink separately. Meanwhile, economic power has shifted dramatically eastward, with BRICS nations driving nearly half of global growth. This isn't just background noise. It's the new reality where collaboration isn't noble, it's necessary for survival. Here's a staggering truth. The UK alone loses $17 billion annually through poor negotiation, roughly $9 million every working hour. Globally, that number balloons to $500 billion. Yet, when executives are asked about improving profitability, better negotiation ranks only sixth in importance, trailing cost-cutting and marketing. This disconnect reveals what we might call the negotiation gap, a chasm between how critical negotiation has become and how little systematic training most people receive. Fewer than half of business professionals prepare for negotiations. Most act on impulse. Companies with structured training outperform peers by 25% in deal closure and achieve 5-10% better terms. Yet only one in three organizations provides systematic training. Your negotiation attitude shapes everything. Fusers believe both parties should benefit, staying assertive yet flexible. Research shows this dual concern approach delivers the best long-term results. Users view negotiation as a contest to win at any cost, creating short-term advantages but lasting resentment. Losers approach with defeatism, neglecting their interests to satisfy others. This becomes self-fulfilling as they avoid conflict and yield to pressure. Confusers operate under mistaken assumptions, believing the pie is fixed, imagining non-existent conflicts, or overestimating concessions. These cognitive shortcuts make us cognitive misers, relying on mental simplifications that sabotage optimal outcomes. Most people underestimate their bargaining power while overestimating their counterparts. Power rarely distributes 11-0. It's typically 6-5 or 7-4. Information is power. Market data, financial details, competitor intelligence. A media lawyer settled a songwriter dispute by producing earnings records revealing the true value. Expertise matters. Specialized knowledge counterbalances other advantages. A career coach secured a $100 reduction on a car service bill by confidently questioning an inflated oil price. Market power includes niche strength, momentum, or perceived scarcity. Scale provides advantage, though Luxembourg proves tiny nations can thrive through expertise. Referral power. Deferring decisions to someone absent prevents hasty concessions. Your network of connections provides significant leverage. Financial strength offers obvious power, as Manchester City's billion-pound transformation demonstrates. Existing relationships create power through prior commitment. People desire consistency with previous actions. Rules and regulations on your side provide legal backing. Authority from seniority commands respect. Finally, personal power. Your skill managing attitude, process, and behavior remains available even when other aces are stacked against you. Transform negative attitudes through practical confidence-building techniques. Challenge limiting beliefs by questioning generalizations, like, "I always mess this up." What evidence actually supports this? These beliefs typically stem from isolated experiences, not patterns. Keep a success journal documenting wins, however small, to counter negative thoughts. Use outcome generation by visualizing success rather than failure. Your unconscious mind doesn't distinguish between imagined and real experiences. So envisioning success programs achievement. Spend 5 to 10 minutes before negotiations imagining specific details: your confident tone, relaxed body language, the other party nodding, the satisfying agreement moment. Employ anchors, triggers that stimulate positive attitudes from past experiences. Recall a powerful moment and access it through a simple trigger, like pressing your thumb and forefinger together. Develop pre-negotiation rituals, reviewing materials, breathing exercises, energizing music. Many successful negotiators use power posing, standing confidently for 2 minutes before meetings, to boost testosterone and reduce stress hormones. Most negotiators miss that deals follow 7 distinct stages. Preparation is critical. If you miss out preparation, then you are preparing to miss out. Consider both failure scenarios and worst-case success outcomes. Elvis Presley's manager sold his master recordings for $5.4 million without considering future royalties, potentially costing hundreds of millions. Climate setting establishes atmosphere, attendees, timetable, location, agenda, and authority levels. Exploring distinguishes organizational requirements from personal drivers using Maslow's hierarchy: achievement, respect, belonging, reassurance, survival. Finding coinage identifies low-cost concessions with high value to them. Bidding exchanges offers. Ask for what you want without pre-negotiating with yourself. Research shows agreements typically fall closer to first offers than counteroffers. Bargaining exchanges counteroffers through progressively smaller concessions. Make substantial early concessions, showing willingness, then taper. Close and review requires recognizing the right moment, then extracting lessons learned. Behavior focuses on how you negotiate, not just what you negotiate. There are 4 styles. I behaviors advance your agenda through proposals and clear expectations. You behaviors address their needs through active listening and open questions. We behaviors demonstrate mutual benefits by visualizing positive futures and developing joint solutions. Parting behaviors temporarily pause contact through recesses. Match behavior to negotiation stages. During climate setting, choose based on desired atmosphere. For exploring needs, use you behavior. For bidding, use I behavior. During bargaining, combine I, incentives, with we, collaborative problem solving, to break deadlocks. Adapt to personality types. With visual thinkers, use the way I see it. With auditory processors, try talk to me about that. For kinesthetic types, use that feels right. When facing tough tactics like threats or ultimatums, make their bad behavior the issue. Once exposed, manipulators typically retreat. For take-it-or-leave-it ultimatums, test firmness with extreme questions. Against salami slicers who request endless small concessions, ask, "Is that it?" to force closure. In our borderless world, negotiation has evolved from occasional skill to daily necessity. The $17 billion lost annually in the UK alone represents damaged relationships, missed opportunities, and the cost of outdated approaches. Mastering negotiation isn't about domination. It's recognizing we're rowing together toward mutual success. When you approach negotiations as a fuser rather than a user, understand your hidden power sources, and systematically apply the 7-stage process, you build lasting partnerships that multiply value over time. The negotiation gap exists because most haven't recognized this shift. They're fighting yesterday's battles with yesterday's weapons. You now have a different framework, one that acknowledges interdependence, leverages behavioral psychology, and creates value rather than merely dividing it. The question isn't whether negotiation matters. The question is whether you'll continue improvising on instinct or approach it systematically, transforming every interaction into opportunity for mutual gain. Because in the New Deal economy, every conversation is a negotiation, and every negotiation is an opportunity to create something greater together.